Mini episode 283 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge, mini episode number 283. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris coming at you today with another one of our great FDH Lounge dignitaries. He can talk on any number of sports, and he does all the time on his talk show that he has, the Steve Callis Show on the Sports Talk Network. You can hear that Monday through Friday, noon Eastern time, on the STN.net. But he is somebody who we always love talking baseball with, among other subjects. He is somebody who has a great deal of knowledge, having covered the sport as a journalist, having coached youth baseball for an extensive period of time. I can only be speaking of our good friend, Steve Callis. Steve, good to have you on, my friend.
Great to be with you, Rick.
We're going to break down here the MLB season at midseason. What better way to start than with the midseason classic? You wrote a column recently. It was up at our blog, frankly, the same place people can check out the show, the FDH Lounge Multimedia Magazine, the FDHLounge.blogspot.com, an excellent blog column about Yasiel Puig, why he deserved to be in the All-Star game. I agreed heartily. This was getting thrown around by a lot of people. Well, only 4 or 5 weeks, whatever. But as you pointed it out, arguably the greatest 4 or 5 week call-up that we've seen anybody have. Under normal circumstances, I suppose I would agree. You know, if somebody's hitting above 300, decent power or whatever. But for somebody just ripping the cover off the ball the way that he was, and I realize that he has cooled off a little bit as time has gone by, and he's making his way around the league again, and things are, you know, bound to get more challenging for him. But based on the body of work, I could not have agreed more strongly with you, Steve.
I got to say, Rick, this is such a travesty. You know, we are expecting the powers that be, and the last line of my column was, hopefully the powers that be won't screw this up. We expect these guys to what? Clean up PEDs in baseball? They can't even get the best player in baseball at the time of the All-Star game into the All-Star game. It's just mind-boggling to me. If you want to look at, I think the notion that the winner of the All-Star game gets home field advantage, the league gets home field advantage in the World Series, I think that's absurd. But that's how it is. So if you look at it as a very meaningful game, and if you're the manager of a contender, it's an unbelievably meaningful game. You saw the way Leland played. He played this game to win, and the Tigers might very well be in the World Series. Well, in the National League, you couldn't name three better outfielders than Yasiel Puig to start the game. Now, I understand the fans' vote. I understand he wasn't popular enough, quick enough to get the fans' vote. But not a substitute even? Everybody in baseball wanted to see this guy play. If you asked 100 fans who knew about Puig who they wanted to see most in the All-Star game, I swear 70, 80, 90 of them would have said Puig. He put up video game numbers, 420, 8 home runs. Joe DiMaggio is the only guy in the history of baseball to have more hits after 27 games in a Major League Baseball uniform than Yasiel Puig. Earl Coombs was a great player for the Yankees in the 20s. Nobody remembers him because it was Ruth and Gehrig. He was the only guy in the history of baseball to get 44 hits in his first 100 at-bats until Yasiel Puig did it. So this wasn't 20 or 40 or 60 at-bats. It was over 100. Bruce Bochy, the manager, and I know there's that giant Dodger hatred, I know that, but Bochy after 3 weeks said, look, I don't think the guy should make the All-Star team after 3 weeks, although he's been unbelievable, but come back in a week and ask me and maybe I'll change my mind. But apparently he didn't change his mind, and I'll say it again. Maybe people don't care, but to me, if it's an exhibition you want to see this guy play, if it's a meaningful game and you want the National League to win, he had to be on the team, and somehow baseball managed to screw this one up as well as many others.
Yeah, I would have thought that somehow or another that they would have found a way to work him in there, even after he lost the fan vote, certainly as an injury substitution. We saw some other players get moved in there instead. It was very surprising to me. Also, as far as Bochy's stance on it, I understand that he's old school. I understand that he's set in his ways on that kind of stuff. As you said, though, the hatred between the Giants and the Dodgers organization, which has really kind of flared again in recent years, but obviously goes back many, many, many decades to when they were both in the New York area. Again, a guy like Bochy, you would think, would want to try and keep a lid on that, you know, and not let it get in the way, not let the passions get overheated. Instead, this is just fuel on the fire between the two teams there. On many, many levels, it just doesn't seem to make any sense at all. And again, somebody that the public, as you said, was dying to see, and as much as I treasure this great young talent in Major League Baseball, and I welcome it and I cherish it, the general public, they should know, say, Manny Machado more than they do, but they don't. This is a guy the public was clamoring to see on many levels. I mean, they're going back to Fernando Mania. Imagine if Fernando Valenzuela was in this spot. He would have made the All-Star team. Yeah, I don't get it either.
Yeah, it really was mind-boggling. Again, a lot of people just, I think Major League Baseball thought for sure he'd win the fan vote. And then you know what happened? Chipper Jones got on Twitter. He led the Freddie Freeman ride. Now, Freddie Freeman's having a very good year. You can make a great case for him to be on the All-Star team. And then once he got hurt, Rick, suddenly Bochy said, oh, I need a catcher, so I'm going to get Brian McCann. Maybe they should take that rule out of the manager's hands, and if the fan's pick gets hurt, then maybe the second fan's pick gets hurt because the fans had no pick in the National League at the end of the day. And I'm sure that's what Bud Selig and the powers that be thought was going to happen. We'll go old school with Bochy so we don't pick him. But the fans will pick him for sure. And in the world of the Internet, where I read that one guy read Chipper Jones' tweet and voted 300 times for Freddie Freeman, that's another sick thing that happens today. So if you have one guy voting 300 times for Freddie Freeman, maybe he had, 100 guys or 1,000 guys voting 300 times for him, because the votes are now, as you know, 19-20 million, but that's not 20 million people voting. That's, you know, a ton of people voting 300 times. So I'll say it again. They screwed this up tremendously. Here's a five-tool player who saved Don Mattingly's job by most accounts out there in L.A., who put the Dodgers written off for dead after April and May, right? I think this guy, you can make a case for him right now as the MVP of the National League. Now, can he keep this up? Well, as you said, they're already getting to him a little. He's only hitting .394 now. Oh, my goodness, that's awful. So I just don't understand. I think everybody thought somebody else was going to do something, and maybe at the end they thought Bochy would bring him on when Freddie Freeman got hurt. And, of course, Puig himself was a little hurt, but to his credit, played in the last couple of games before the All-Star break, got a hit. You know, I don't know what more this guy could have done. It was almost like he should have played another 3 weeks and hit, I don't know, .270, so he'd be hitting .380 after 8 weeks instead of 5 weeks. It makes no sense. I really do think it's a travesty. I'm sorry to go on and on like this, and I know we have other things to talk about, but this is so stupid. The player that most people want, the people wanted to see the most, didn't even make it to the All-Star game.
One final thing, Rick. Yeah.
Oh, and at the end of the day, they almost set the record for least hits in an All-Star game. The National League got 3. The record is 2. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think they could have used them. No, listen, I could talk all night about the injustice of this also, too, because I think it's incredibly stupid that he didn't make it. And again, is he going to stay on the kind of trajectory to where he's going to have an MVP kind of a season? He may not. You know, we'll check back in several weeks here. But, again, it's based on what he's done to this point. He certainly deserved to be there. And that makes a logical segue point, as you said, that he saved Don Mattingly's job, as he undeniably did. The Dodgers now sitting very close to first place in the very mediocre National League West. It's kind of funny in looking at it that the Dodgers and Washington, that was my pick at the beginning of the season for the National League Championship Series, as I'm sure it probably was for some other folks as well. Very interesting. People kind of looked at it all year long like, Washington, they're kind of disappointing. People look at the Dodgers as being Hindenburg, and right now they're sitting at about even in the standings, which is maybe not a great credit to the way that either team has played through the entire course of the season.
Well, I think the Dodgers as well. But Puig not only saved Mattingly's job, he saved the Dodgers' season. They were written off. Now, Kershaw, it was very interesting. Kershaw, another Dodger. Don't forget Dodger Giants. I was more than happy, a New York guy. I've seen Matt Harvey pitch a lot, seen him once live. He's the real deal. Kershaw was upset that he didn't start. And in the old days, you'd look at his record, Rick, and say, oh, he's 8-6. But in the new days, you look at him with a 1.98 ERA, with a whip under 1. I mean, he has been just unbelievable. And I think they're going to make a run in the second half. In fact, as you know, they've already made a run the end of the first half. You know, they were 500 at the break. They were in second place. If you'll recall, before Puig came up, I think they were in last place, like 9.5 games out or something. So they've already made a run, and it's not just Puig. Hanley Ramirez has been unconscious. He could have been an all-star as well. Gonzalez has played well. Carl Crawford off the DL. Maybe he can give them something. And Kershaw has been unbelievable. Greinke has been good. Rue, the new Japanese pitcher, he's been good as well. I think they're going to make a run, and I do think, I don't know if we had this show a month ago if I would have said this pre-Puig, but I do think they're going to win the West at the end of the day, which is an interesting, I don't view it to be a weak, the records are bad, but I don't view it to be a weak division at all. I think the Giants are going to have to improve their pitching. But I think the Dodgers now should be the favorites in the West, as they probably were before the season started.
Oh, I would agree with that. Arizona's played very well. They've gotten some excellent pitching performances. Paul Goldschmidt, it's really looking like Paul Bunyan out there. It's just giving you everything that he is capable of doing. They've been a very, very impressive team relative to expectations. But, yeah, the Dodgers, big underachievers overall to this point, even if they've played better recently. Washington also underachieving, and people point to, well, the offense is not really as great as it was supposed to be, and I suppose that's been the case. But for a team that I picked to win 100 games, not least of which because in addition to what was supposed to be a lights out starting rotation, very good hitting up and down the lineup, I thought, and what should be on paper an unmatched 7th inning, 8th inning, 9th inning bullpen combo, Washington, again, they're not taking the heat that the Dodgers, Angels, and Blue Jays are, but maybe they shouldn't be too far behind in the public mind, Steve.
Yeah, well, I certainly thought that it was going to be them on top of Atlanta in the AL East with both making the playoffs. Obviously, right now, the Braves have a nice lead. But I will look at the two supposedly young superstars. Now, Bryce Harper, and again, I don't want to go back to Puig, but Bryce Harper makes the All-Star team hitting .264. Fan vote, of course, but he's the first guy, one of the youngest guys ever, I think, to make it on rep off of last year because he did not have a good year. As you know, he missed 5 weeks of the season as well, ran into that wall. I don't know if he couldn't feel the warning track under him, but ran into that wall like there was no wall there, like the wall was 25 feet away from him. It was really scary. And, of course, the other star, Strasburg, who has been terrible on the road as a pitcher, has been up and down. We thought he was going to be a dominant pitcher for a decade or more, and don't get me wrong, he's got tremendous talent, but I think you would start right there with Bryce Harper and Steven Strasburg. Not that they can't put it all together. I'm a big David Johnson fan. I think he's a good manager. You know, they have Gio Gonzalez, they have Jordan Zimmerman, they have good pitching. Ian Desmond has had an all-star year, but I think you're right, not as good as we thought in the bullpen and not as good as we thought offensively. Can they turn it around? Well, I think they have to stay healthy. And I do think they still have a chance to catch Atlanta, but as of right now, to me, and I think to many others, they've been a disappointment.
Well, I think with Harper, that health ties into it directly because very, very interesting to me in spring training, he was getting a lot of run from a lot of the hipsters out there. Oh, this guy could be MVP this year already. This guy is going to play at the Mike Trout level this year already. And he kind of started that way before he got hurt. It was really making me wonder because he started off that red hot. Again, hasn't been quite the same since he came back in there. The story of the National League to me, though, is the Central, is how incredible it has been in the 1, 2, and 3 spots right there. If the season ended today, St. Louis, Pittsburgh, and the Natty would be in the playoffs here. Pittsburgh, an incredible story unto themselves. They seem to me to be, of any of the teams that are in playoff contention right now, the most likely to fade and just barely miss it. But as far over 500 as they are, almost 20 games, at a bare minimum, it sure looks like that streak of seasons under 500 is going to come to an end here.
Yeah, and I think they can stay the course. You got to look at, and again, going back to All-Star selections, I love McCutchen, but he's had not nearly the year that he had a year ago where he was an MVP candidate, 31 homers, 327 batting average. This year at the break, only 10 homers, 302 average, and he had to do really well at the end to get above 300. But they've done this all without McCutchen as an MVP candidate. I'm not an A.J. Burnett fan, but he's back off the DL. I think they can make some noise. Grilly, if you follow Jason Grilly's story, I mean, I think in his whole career he had 5 saves before this year, and now he's been lights out for them at the end of the bullpen. I think they're for real. I think they have a chance to make the playoffs. I don't think you're going to see the collapse. I think you're right. Obviously, they're going to be over 500. I don't think you're going to see the collapse that you saw last year. And I'll say it again, with McCutchen playing like McCutchen, which he did towards the end of the first half, I think it's almost like adding another player. Again, should he have been an All-Star? You know, an irrelevant question now, but takes me back to Puig again. But I think they can make a run, and I think they can hang around. And I think you're right. As it's shaken out, clearly the Central is the strongest division in the National League. I thought it might have been, frankly, the West before the season with the Dodgers and the Giants and Arizona and Colorado. I didn't think San Diego could last, and it looks like they're not going to. But I think right now you have to say that the AL Central is clearly the best division, arguably in baseball, frankly.
Oh, it's been incredible. And again, most people, myself included, picked Cincinnati to win the division before the season. At a bare minimum, it looks like Cincinnati and St. Louis, barring anything catastrophic, are going to be two of the playoff teams here. They're certainly strong enough to stick around. St. Louis has had some surprises with some of their young talent emerging already this year, coming together, really looking like the kind of powerhouse that they were down the stretch 2 years ago when they won the World Series. And Cincinnati, again, they had Shin-Soo Choo to that already strong lineup, a team that made the playoffs a year ago. I think maybe kind of got a little bit unlucky. They never seemed to recover from the stumble of Johnny Cueto's kind of mysterious injury in the playoffs there. But a team that a lot of people were picking as a default team to win the NL Central and maybe to come out of the National League this year. Talk about those two historic powerhouses right there, those two franchises, Steve, how they're shaping up for you coming down the stretch this year.
Well, I'll start with Cincinnati, and you're very familiar with this player. I saw him a lot. I was out in Cleveland a few times last year and saw him live. This Shin-Soo Choo, 425 OBP, he's having an unbelievable year for Cincinnati. Joey Votto, another MVP-type year. You know, their pitching has been really good. I think they're a legit team. As for the Cardinals, you know, when you talk about organizations, and in New York, obviously, they always talk about the Yankees, but when you step out to the Midwest, the Cardinals, to me, are the quintessential organization. They have the second most World Series run, one after the Yankees. This Yadier Molina has had almost an MVP season. The catcher hitting 340 nowadays, Rick, that just, you know, it just doesn't happen anymore. Alan Craig's been unbelievable. Shelby Miller, the young pitcher, is the real deal. So I have to agree. I think they're both going to be there at the end of the year. And I think you're right. There's no doubt the question mark is, can the Pirates hang on? But I think the Pirates can hang on till September, and then we'll see if they're going to do a September swoon, because last year they kind of did do a July-August swoon.
Well, you're absolutely right about that. That's how it came apart, and I think that it's right to believe that, again, you know, barring a big injury run or something like that that we can't foresee at the moment, they will be around at the end. From the what's probably the best division in baseball, or certainly the best one in the National League, the AL East might have something to say about that, but to the one that's undeniably the worst as we look at the American League, let's get this out of the way, the American League Central. Not much to say there in the form of Kansas City, Minnesota, and the White Sox, not in contention for anything. When you talk about hanging in there until the very end, that's one of the thoughts that comes to mind actually for my hometown team, the Cleveland Indians. I don't see them being strong enough to hang with Detroit in the end, particularly when you look at, you know, Verlander hasn't played up to snuff yet. Victor Martinez, you can kind of go down the line and see where Detroit has the ability to get a lot better from within. Plus, you know they're going to upgrade that bullpen, so that's not even going to be an issue. But for the Indians, who I thought at the beginning of the year would be kind of a near-miss, kind of also-ran kind of a team, maybe finish about five games out of the closest playoff spot at the end of the year, they seem to me to be right about on pace to accomplish at least that, if you want to use the word accomplish. What are your senses about Cleveland, Detroit, and the Central?
Well, I thought Kansas City needed another year. I think they're a good young team. They're six games under 500. They need to get better. Minnesota, I think this is it for Gardenhire. The White Sox are out of it. Cleveland, I think, can hang around. I don't think they're going to beat Detroit. I mean, Detroit, you can make a case for them to be in the World Series. They've done it with a, frankly, not very good Verlander. I know Scherzer's 13-1 and has been unbelievable, but if Verlander becomes Verlander, Cabrera, hard to even say this, it's a video game for him. He's doing even better this year than when he won the Triple Crown last year. Again, it's almost unfathomable that he could do such a thing, but he's in the hunt for another Triple Crown. I'll say it again. It's like watching a video game. Best curveball hitter I've seen since Manny Ramirez, and maybe he surpassed Manny now. I remember a couple of years ago, I saw him at the stadium live, and Phil Hughes threw him six fastballs in a row, then threw him a breaking ball, and the seventh pitch, he hit it 420 feet into the left center field bleachers at Yankee Stadium. Just makes you go, who is this guy who now everybody knows? I think the Tigers are for real, but I do think the Indians can stick around. I think Francona has changed, or I'll say made better, the clubhouse. You know, last year I thought guys like Hafner and Sizemore, if they stayed healthy, could have helped Cleveland make a run. Of course, they didn't. Francona walks in with two championships, not only from Boston, but, you know, beating the Yankees in that miracle playoff comeback. I thought Nick Swisher was a great sign. Now he's not even hitting 250, but I still think he's a great guy in the clubhouse. He'll give you a big hit. I think Michael Bourne, obviously, has helped them tremendously. So I think they can hang around. I think they're playing for a wild card, Rick. I don't think they can beat the Tigers.
Oh, I would agree with that. And I think, again, they're likely to finish closer to the second wild card than they will be the Tigers, particularly when the Tigers get into their patented second half run as they have the last couple of years. We touched upon this briefly in terms of disappointments before, lumping in the L.A. Angels with the L.A. Dodgers, both teams out there really coming up short. But in the American League West, again, Texas, you kind of expected them to still be up there. But big surprises to me out in Cali in terms of I thought the Angels would win the division, as did a lot of people in my defense. I thought Oakland would kind of recede a little bit this year, but you look at the production that they've been getting from Josh Donaldson and some of the other players in there, a young pitching core that's only continuing to get better and better. So what are your thoughts on the West? Because, again, I think that, to me, the performance of the A's and the Angels are what's kind of turned upside down the expectations that we all had for this division.
Well, I certainly drank the Angels' Kool-Aid because whatever you think of Pujols adding Josh Hamilton, we did talk before the season, I remember, about whether Hamilton could make that switch. He seemed to have a good, you know, with all his past troubles down in Texas, he seemed to have a good way to go about his business. And I'm not saying he doesn't this year, but obviously he hasn't been Josh Hamilton at all. So when you throw Trout, who's playing like a superstar again, with Pujols, and Hamilton, my goodness, I thought they were going to be Murderers Row 2013 style. Don't forget Jared Weaver was on the disabled list for a while, and their pitching was kind of suspect when they lost him. That's been a big problem as well. As for Oakland, I mean, you know, I don't know where you stand on Bartolo Colon, Rick. Obviously, 50 games last year, suspension, obviously named again in the Biogenesis stuff, but also obviously a Cy Young candidate, 12-3 with a 2.70 ERA. I would also focus on, because I know you know my son loves the Tampa Bay Rays, And I saw Grant Balfour kind of come of age in Tampa Bay. They couldn't keep him. Now he's with Oakland, and he's the key in the back end of that bullpen with 25 saves and an all-star berth, deservedly so. I think he's been as much a key as anybody else if you had to pick one guy, but they're getting, obviously, great contributions from Donaldson and others, and I like the way they play. They play the game the right way. So I didn't like them to be as good as they are, but right now, you know, they're 11 games ahead of the Angels at the All-Star break, so it's going to take a monumental collapse, and I don't think the Angels are going to get back there anyway, so I think Oakland is a playoff team now, and I think Texas is as well.
Yeah, I mean, the A's really are the anti-Angels in every way. Payroll,
absolutely.
Expectations, right on down the line, mirror images of one another up and down the coast there. When you talk about disappointments like the Angels, again, one of the first teams that comes to mind, especially in the American League, would be the Toronto Blue Jays in last place presently in the American League East, albeit not as far back as they've been for a decent chunk of the season. It looks like with a good, solid run in them to where they can get to at least the periphery of the wild card race, which they haven't even really been in all year long. We talked about that coming in, that this could be one of the toughest divisions in all of sports, and it's sure shaping up that way when you look at the resurgence of Boston. When you look at, again, I think we figured that Tampa Bay and the Yankees would be up there, but Baltimore, a team that quite frankly was lucky last year, winning as many one-run games as they did, a team that's actually legitimately better this year, even though the record is comparable, they're a better team. Chris Davis is a freak of nature this year. Manny Machado was one of the best players in the American League this year. All of a sudden, Baltimore is legitimate. So Toronto has legitimate obstacles in their way. But, again, maybe it's just the freak show aspect that we're all sort of drawn to with human nature. But to me, the story of the American League East this year is the fact that Toronto is in exactly the opposite spot of where I and a lot of people thought they would be this year.
No question. Now, Reyes was on the DL for a long time, lose your leadoff guy. The pitches they brought in, which we did talk about, you know, could R.A. Dickey pitch in the AL East? Not because he doesn't have a great knuckleball, but could he just do it? Could he duplicate what he did last year with the lowly Mets? So far, obviously, no. Burley, has he been really good? No, not really. You know, I like the pitching moves that they made. I'm a Josh Johnson guy, but he hasn't been Josh Johnson for what now, Rick? 2 years? 3 years? So
yeah.
They brought in these guys, not really with a number one. Hard to say a knuckleballer is a number one, and nobody rooted harder for Dickey in New York last year than I did, and good for him. He's a fantastic story. But those three pitchers collectively, to me, haven't even been 3-4-5s, and they were hoping they'd be 1-2-3s or 2-3-4s at least, and that's a big part of the problem. And again, when you lose a guy like Reyes is a great player when healthy, and those, you know, two words kind of haunted him in New York a little, when healthy, and it just hasn't happened. But when you look at their lineup, Encarnacion is a star. Bautista has been an incredible hitter for a number of years now. They still have a chance, but you're right. They got to climb over four good teams. I mean, whatever people think of the Yankees, and I pick them to be a wild card in the American League, they've done it with smoke and mirrors. You know, Jeter came back, and now he's back on the DL. A-Rod is coming. I don't know. Teixeira probably done for the season now. Grandison, are we going to see him? So I think Joe Girardi has done his best managing job. But again, when you look at the Yankees, you know, they're in fourth place. You probably heard the stat, Rick. It's the first time, I believe it was, since 1995 that the Yankees have been in fourth place or lower at the All-Star break. Now, in 95, they went 49-29 second half and made the playoffs. Can they do that? You know, C.C. Sabathia has not been an ace. Kuroda's been their best pitcher. Baltimore's legit. I think Buck Showalter gets a lot of credit, but you're right. Machado's unbelievable. They're having an excellent year. Tampa Bay is only going to be better. David Price was terrible. He went on the DL. He came back. He's now had three excellent starts in a row. If he's healthy, they're going to make a run. You know, they're 14-2 their last 16. And to me, maybe people don't agree, but Boston is the overwhelming surprise. As Toronto is the negative, Boston is the positive. They only won 69 games last year. You didn't think they made a whole lot of changes, yet here they are with the best record in the American League East, the best record in the American League, and the second best record in all of baseball. So you have to give them credit up there in Boston. They've done a tremendous job. And Ortiz is having another all-star season, which surprises me as well.
Well, it helps that John Lackey looks like the John Lackey of old instead
That's
of an
true.
Old John Lackey.
Yes.
So
yep.
that really helps as well. But, yeah, I mean, Tampa Bay, you know, year in and year out, I mean, they're the team that kind of sticks out to me. And they're the one team out of that division, I think, right now. If I had to swear on a stack of Bibles somebody was going to make the playoffs, I think I'd be looking in their direction. You had Will Myers to the lineup. It was expected that once it got into June and we were past the ticking clock for arbitration for another year, that he would be up. He's playing pretty well. And again, you've commented on this many times before, Joe Maddon, whether it be the proper use of the spray charts or anything else like that. They not only have this wealth of young talent, they have a manager, perhaps unlike any in the game, who just really knows how to exploit it, push buttons, and get these guys playing at their peak performance at all times, it seems like.
Well, I totally agree. I think Maddon is the best manager in baseball. We've been talking about him and his shifts for more than 2 years now, and now everybody is shifting like the Tampa Bay Rays. It's very, very interesting. They also picked up James Loney, you know, leading the league in hitting earlier in the season, still 315 at the All-Star break, a real surprise. The only disappointment, or one of the disappointments you have to look at and be concerned with, is Fernando Rodney, who had a year for the ages last year, you know, 0.60 ERA, 3.79 this year, is not the lights out closer he was last year. And, you know, that's always a concern when you look at a team going into the playoffs. I guess we'd be remiss if we didn't talk briefly about the Yankees and Mariano. I don't know if he should have been the MVP of the All-Star game. That was kind of a gift, but he's been unbelievable.
Yeah.
Only two blown saves all year. He's doing the Mariano tour. He strikes me as a guy who is not going to reconsider at the end of the year and come back despite having a great year. I don't know if the Yankees are going to get there again. They need these guys to come back. Sometimes you watch the Yankees, they're playing four guys. You don't know who they are. So, again, I'll give Joe Girardi credit, but I did want to mention Mariano, who's having a sensational year for the Yankees. I don't want to say capped by an All-Star Game MVP, because I think they just gave it to him because there was nobody else to give it to. I would have given it to Cabrera. He doubled and scored the first run, which proved to be the winning run, and made a couple of really nice plays in the field. But again, I guess they just wanted to give it to him because they wanted to give it to him, and that's what they did. But, yeah, it's a very interesting division, the AL East. And you're right, a little bit topsy-turvy. I certainly thought Boston would be last and Toronto would be first, frankly. And they're close, but right now Boston is playing great. Toronto, I think, can climb back into it, though, because they're not out of the mix yet.
I agree. I think they'll end up at least the periphery of it at the end of the year, although it certainly looks like they're poised to come up short. And as far as it goes with Rivera, yeah, again, I'm a lifelong Yankee hater, so I can't even believe I'm saying that this is a little bit kind of poignant, but it's a little bit kind of poignant to me because I'm pretty well convinced right now Mariano Rivera's career, and I respect the man as a class act and as arguably the greatest relief pitcher of all time, but a class act, one of the great athletes of our generation. I think his career comes up that it ends at the end of the regular season. For guys so associated with October, there is something a little bit poignant about it, unless you're going to be completely biased as a Yankee hater. I think you'd have to agree to see it go the way that it has. I mean, he's going out on his own terms, and you have to respect that, especially compared to how it could have ended up at, crumpled in a heap in the Kansas City warning track a year ago, Steve.
That's a good point.
Should go out. Yeah,
that's a very good point, and give him credit that, you know, 43, at coming back, I mean, just an amazing comeback, and he's pitched very, very well this year.
He really, really has. Just about as well as our conversation, as I knew it would be. So always a pleasure talking baseball with you, Steve. We'll definitely have to catch up here as the 2013 year commences. But great to get a mid-season look with you here. So thanks once again for being a part of the show, my friend.
Great to be with you as always, Rick. Can't wait to do it again.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to it as well. Thank you all for tuning in the FDH Lounge mini episode number 283.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.